Welcome to Abbotsford Anglican Church, St Andrews. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican. With me today are Diane and Rosemary. Diane's going to lead us in prayer and Rosemary's going to read the scriptures to us. We're very mindful of you all who are listening in today that you're in lockdown and for the next two Sundays, and we'll be recording services for you so that you can listen in. You can access this today after midday and next Sunday at 9:30 as we normally would meet for church in the morning. Today we're going to be looking at wisdom. Wisdom as revealed in God's word from the book of Proverbs. And the title for today's sermon is Wisdom for Choosing. And our mission focus for this month of June has been on the work of Kim Patterson serving in South County Dublin in Ireland and in Anglicare Prison Chaplaincy. And Diane, during our time of prayer this morning, will be encouraging us to be mindful of Kim and praying for her and also for prison chaplains working with Anglicare. But to begin with, let's hear from God's word from James chapter 1, verse 22, to prepare us for hearing God speak to us through his word. Let us not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves, but do what it says. Brothers and sisters, as we gather in God's name, would you join with me in this prayer together in your order of service? Almighty God, you know our hearts and nothing can be hidden from you. By your Holy Spirit, cleanse our thoughts and desires so that we may truly love you and bring honour to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, knowing the goodness of God and the times we have failed to respond with love and obedience, it's important when we gather together that we confess our sins to Almighty God and to hear his forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. So let us say together, Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen.
Gracious God, as the Bible is read and taught to us today, deliver us from unbelief and disobedience. Help us to exhort and encourage one another, that none may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Produce in us the fruit of your Spirit for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading comes from Proverbs chapter 22, starting at verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stray far from them. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In these words of Scripture, let us acknowledge together what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Together, Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, this morning's sermon is titled Wisdom for Choosing. Wisdom for Choosing. And it's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. It was the final question Sandra had to answer. If she answered the question correctly, she would win a holiday, all expenses paid. If she answered incorrectly, it would be all gone. And as she suspected, for her, the final question was no pushover. Which of the following species of birds, asked the game host, does not build its own nest, but instead lays its eggs in the nests of other birds? Is it A, the magpie, B, the crow, C, the cuckoo, or D, the kookaburra? Sandra didn't know the answer. She had used up all her lifelines but one. All that remained was her phone-a-friend lifeline. But she knew her friend knew nothing about birds, but she had no other alternative, so she called her friend. To Sandra's surprise, her friend responded immediately to the question. That's easy. The answer is C, the cuckoo. Sandra had to make a choice. She was confused and surprised. She wasn't sure if to trust her friend or not. But her friend had responded with such confidence, such certainty, that Sandra could not help but be convinced. I need an answer, said the host. Crossing her fingers, hoping for the best, Sandra said, C, the cuckoo? Is that your final answer? Asked the host. Yes, that's my final answer, said Sandra. And after a long dramatic television pause, the host replied, your answer is correct. You've won a holiday, all expenses paid. Well, 3 days later, Sandra held a party for her family and friends, including her phone-a-friend Lifeline, who had helped her win her holiday. How did you know the correct answer? Asked Sandra. Oh, come on, said Sandra's friend. The choice was easy. Everybody knows that cuckoos don't build nests. They live in clocks. As Christians, like everyone, we make choices. Some choices are calculated and well thought out, taking days, months, even years. Others are made on the spur of the moment. Some turn out well, others don't, and some, like Sandra's, turn out well even when we think they won't. We all make choices, Not all choices are the same. As Christians, we choose to live life God's way as revealed by Him in His Word, the Bible. We have come to find this way of living meaningful and satisfying. But all the more importantly, this way of living life is the life we choose to live for us. For we have come to know the love and mercy of God that's found in Jesus Christ our Lord and Saviour. As Jesus has said in John 10 verse 10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. For this reason, we as Christians live no other way. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Psalm 18, verse 30. Those who choose to live life differently to us may find our life choices strange and sometimes offending. Others, however, have been greatly blessed by our life choices, sometimes realizing it and thankful, other times not. But be that as it may, it has always been this way and no different for the writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, the son of King David. In his book of Proverbs, Solomon has listed thousands upon thousands of wise sayings. Proverbs to help God's people gain wisdom. Wisdom to apply to our thoughts, to our words and actions that we make. Wisdom to help us with our choices as we live life out God's way in a world that sadly doesn't. This one of two sermons on wisdom whilst in lockdown is an opportunity for us to hear some of those proverbs and to consider their wisdom and how they may shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Most will be obvious. And like Jesus did on occasions, a story will be all that's needed to be told to explain their meaning. Turn with me now in your Bibles to the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 22 verses 1 to 6 that Rosemary read to us this morning. I'll be reading from the NIV. The first is verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Well, our first point is our choices have consequences for our reputation. There was a man who had worked all of his life and became very rich. But he was a real cheapskate when it came to his money. He loved money more than just about anything. Never generous, never sharing a cent. And just before he died, he said to his wife, "Now listen, when I die, I want you to take all my money and place it in the coffin with me. Because I want to take all my money with me to wherever I am after I die." So he got his wife to promise him that when he died, she would put all his money in the coffin with him. When the day came that he died and the funeral was held, there he was lying in the coffin, the wife sitting there in black next to their best friends. When they finished the service, just before the funeral directors got ready to close the coffin, the wife said, "Wait a minute." She had a briefcase with her. She came over with the briefcase and placed it in the coffin with her husband. Then the funeral directors closed the lid, locked the coffin, and the man was buried. Her friends said to her after the funeral, "I hope you weren't crazy enough to keep your promise." She said, "Yes, a promise is a promise. You mean to tell me you put every cent of his money in the coffin with him in that briefcase? Yes, I did, said the wife. I got it all together, put it into my account, and I wrote him a check. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Our choices will have consequences for our reputation. Our choices have consequences for the future. Verse 2. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. When the rich and poor meet together, some of those who are wealthy and prosperous pity the poor for their poverty and lack of entrepreneurship. And likewise, some who are poor envy the wealthy for their prosperity and fortune. But God's word reminds us that the Lord made us both, and we have no reason to resent each other. For we both arrive naked and without, and we shall both leave this world the same way. It's what we do in the middle that counts. What we do with God, what we do with Jesus. As our Maker, God owns us. We are not of our own to do as we like with the life that He has given to us. As our Maker and our owner, God is our judge. His word reminding us in Hebrews 9 verse 27, we all are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Our choices have consequences for the future. Our choices have consequences for the present. Verse 3. The prudent sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple, they just keep on going and pay the penalty. A senior citizen, well in years, poor in sight, took great pride in his driving skills, was driving down the freeway when his car phone rang. Pressing the button on his dashboard, answering hands-free, he heard his wife's voice urgently warning him, "Harry, Harry, darling, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way on the M4. Please be careful." "It's not just one car, sweetheart," replied Harry. "It's hundreds of them." The prudent, the thoughtful, sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple, they just keep on going and they suffer for it. But how often do we fail to learn from our mistakes, to take heed of those who may know better than ourselves, to be blinded by our pride and not humble to learn from wisdom and apply it, to disregard the welfare of those who we are responsible for and plunge them and ourselves into situations we could well have avoided if only we looked for the danger, taken refuge and not gone in where angels fear to tread. Our choices have consequences for the present. Our choices have consequences for our prosperity. Verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. According to the Gospel of Mark, one day Jesus sat down opposite a place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. You might be familiar with the story from Mark's Gospel. Many rich people threw in large amounts, But a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, Jesus said, "Look, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." God sees what we overlook and rewards. Her name is not known and recorded. Her name is not known and recorded. But it was the widow's. Her name is not known and recorded, but it was this widow's respectful gift in trust, not the rich, that the Son of God thought worthy of comment. This was the gift that the disciples needed to be aware of. And this was the humility and respect for God that the story is told for us to hear and to heed. What matters is not what people think of us, where we live, how big our home is, or the size of our bank balance, or how much of it we choose to give or not give. Our prosperity, our reward, is not found in wealth or assets, but what God knows of us and what we've done with Jesus, his Son. The other motives and gifts that day made a lot of noise as they jingled into the temple bowls, but the widow's two coins and prayer were heard in heaven. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," said Jesus. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Our choices have consequences for our prosperity. Our choices have consequences for our safety. Or verse 5, "In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them." There may be people whom we think we ought to hang around and be with. There may be choices that we think that we ought to make, of which we go with one because of their popularity. But God's word and wisdom tells us to not follow our instincts on some things and matters in this manner, but to trust him at his word, to do what his word says. There was a mayor who thought too highly of himself, whose popularity was well known, and many flocked to follow him. And he was visiting a primary school and visiting one of the classes. As he went into the classroom, he realized that the class was in the middle of a discussion relating to words and their meanings. The principal, cautiously knowing the mayor, asked the mayor if he would like to lead a discussion on a word of his own choice. The mayor was delighted and with self-importance quickly took up the offer. So he asked the class to give him an example of the word tragedy. One little boy stands up and offers, "If my best friend who lives on a farm is playing in the field and a runaway tractor hits him and hurts him and knocks him over and he can't walk anymore, that would be a tragedy." No, says the mayor. That would be an accident." A little girl raises her hand. "If a school bus drove over a cliff and we all died, that would be a tragedy," No, explains the mayor. That would not be a tragedy. That would be called a great loss, young lady. The room goes silent. No other children choose to volunteer. The principal suggests to the mayor that it might be wise to end the discussion there and choose a different word. But the mayor, caught up in his self-importance, the popularity of those listening in, insisted to go on, and searching the room, raises his voice, "Isn't there someone here who can give me an example of a tragedy?" Noting the children becoming upset, again the principal suggests the time had that this time very strongly, "I think, sir, it would be much wise for us to move on, Mr. Ware." But the mayor refused, and he asked again, raising his voice, "Isn't there someone here who can give me an example of a tragedy?" Finally, at the back of the room, a child raises his hand. In a quiet voice, he says, "I guess if a tractor hit you and your bus went over the cliff, would that be a tragedy?" "Fantastic!" exclaimed the mayor. "That's right," laughing with delight at them realizing his importance. "And can you tell me why that would be a tragedy?" "I guess so," says the boy, scratching his head, "because it wouldn't be an accident and it wouldn't be a great loss." In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul against them stays far, far from them. Our choices have consequences for our personal safety. And finally, our choices have consequences for our children. Train a child in the way he or she should go, and when he is old, he will not turn. When he or she is old, they will not turn from it. Our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, our prayer families, our kids' church, are high on God's list of given responsibilities to us to favourably model the wisdom in living life God's way to them. They are a gift to us to be responsible for. Running late for the surgery to pick up her daughter from school, a doctor threw her stethoscope on the back seat of her car and drove to her daughter's school. On the way home, looking in the rear vision mirror, the mother noticed her daughter had placed the stethoscope around her neck, listening to her heartbeat. She hadn't talked much about her job to her children. She didn't think it was really that important, in fact. She didn't talk much about her job to her children and how much joy it brought to her. But deep down, she always wanted her children to be like her, to follow in her steps. So seeing her daughter playing with the stethoscope, a warm and thankful feeling came over her. The mother thought to herself, "Oh, how wonderful. She wants to be a doctor like me." But before she could finish her words, the daughter placed the hearing device to her mouth and said, "Welcome to McDonald's. Would you like fries with your order?" The emphasis here in this proverb is not so much on the effort of the child, but on the responsibility of us adults to model our desire for them to know and follow God and live life his way, to see the wisdom of doing so and speak of it with them, then to trust them into God's care. We are responsible for our child's training. We, the child's parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, are responsible for the child's Christian upbringing in the life of the church. A godparent, kids to a teacher, scripture teacher, youth leader, we're all responsible as adults to train the children and to train them in the way they should go. And the way they should go, we pray, is God's way. In Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 and 19, God's word reminds us, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. Train a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Our choices have consequences. Our choices have consequences for our reputation, our future, the present, our prosperity, our safety, for our children, in every aspect of life, really. As Christians, like everyone, we make choices. But as Christians, we choose to live life differently to the world. We choose to live life God's way, as revealed by Him in His Word, the Bible. We would live no other way. For as for God, His way is perfect, the word of the Lord is flawless. We know that some will find our life choices strange and sometimes offending. Others, however, may be greatly blessed by the choices that we make, sometimes realizing it and thanking us, other times not. But be that as it may, it's always been this way. In his book of Proverbs, Solomon has listed thousands upon thousands of wise sayings. We have just looked at six this morning. We will listen to six more next Sunday, Lord willing, and may they help us gain wisdom. Wisdom to apply to our thoughts, our words, and the actions we make. Wisdom to help us with our choices. Everyone who hears these words of mine, said Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our path, and strength to our lives. Take and use us to love and serve all people in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Teach me to walk in righteous paths.
Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those providing a vaccine for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you, God of all loveliness, for the beauty of the earth and sky and sea, for the richness of mountains, deserts and rivers, for the songs of birds and the beauty of flowers. We thank you for the new life in all its wonder, and thank you for the blessings of grandchildren. We praise you for these good gifts and pray that we may guard our heritage to the honour and glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your law, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Most gracious God, ruler of the nations, we pray for the Parliament of Australia, its members and officers. Direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this country, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice may be established among us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, the giver of eternal life, we pray for the elderly of our community and thank you for those who, having given a lifetime of service, face the future with faith. We remember too the housebound, the lonely and fearful, the doubting and the despairing. Bless them all and fill with love those who serve them. Through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. We pray for the ministry of our sister Kim Patterson in Ireland as she serves the people of South County Dublin. We pray also for those who work in Anglican prison chaplaincy as they too work to save the lost in our prison system. Please give them all wisdom and safety and sustain them with your grace. Let the knowledge of you and your love be revealed clearly to those they come into contact with, that your word is clearly fed into their hearts and they are moved by your spirit to repent and ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your spirit to stay close to all who continue to face health challenges, especially for Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock and Max Schweitzer from within our congregation, but we also pray for those others who find themselves struggling with life challenges, whether physical, mental or any other stresses. Comfort them, Lord, and lead them to your peace. Father, you call all children to walk in the light of Christ. Free us from darkness and keep us in the radiance of your truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I just want to close the prayer time with a blessing. God, our Creator, you have made each one of us in every part. Bless us through and through, that we may delight to serve you to the full. Bless our eyes that we may discern the beauty you give. Bless our ears that we may hear you in the music of sounds. Bless our sense of smell that your fragrance may fill our being. Bless our lips that we may speak your truth and sing your joy. Bless our hands that they may play, write and touch as you guide them. Bless our feet that they may be messengers of your peace. Bless our imaginations that we may be fired with wonder in your truth.
Bless our hearts that they may be filled with your love. Bless us through and through that we may delight to serve you to the full. Through Jesus Christ, who took our nature to make us whole. Amen.
Well, thank you for meeting with us this morning, and we trust that you'll meet with us again next Sunday online, listening in, when we consider wisdom for asking. Wisdom for asking of God those things which matter most and of importance. So once again, we'll look into the book of Proverbs together and we'll think on God's word and apply it to our lives. On the website is also the latest church bulletin, also Bible study notes on the material that we looked at today, and a summary of the sermon. Once again, thank you for joining us. We're mindful of you whilst in lockdown. Please be in contact with each other. Please be mindful of other people. Pray for them, ring them up, and keep in contact and keep in touch. Let me close with this prayer. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give to you and me the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.